Hello and welcome back to the Fantasy Footy Brains podcast. Josh, mate, what a round.
Well, that was dog shit. That's fantasy season's over for 2023.
Yep.
Or 24 even. Big going on in the old NRL world this week. I guess as much as we're joking about it, like, I haven't seen any really, like, great scores. Like, it's been rough in the streets this week.
Yeah, I think all the players that did well, like, looking around, it's all pods. Like, you look at the likes of AFB, he's pretty low owned, like 6%. You look at Yo and Johnson, they're all under, you know, 10%. Johnson's a bit higher. But, like, yeah, then really not a lot of players that are, like, 20% plus owned scored big like you want to. Like, your Hines and your Cleary, pretty much, like, a 50, yes, is good, but dudded for their price. Haas is really the only one that's highly owned that actually provided a score this week, which is kind of...
Yeah, the one guy I didn't start with, yeah, that was
good. Did you go Murray instead?
I went with Hopgood instead.
Hopgood, yeah, that's rough. Yeah, very, very rough there. But, yeah, I guess maybe we should touch on our teams individually, how we went. So... What did you end up with?
I'm embarrassed. People will stop listening to me if I give my score out for this week. That was a pretty rough one this week for me. I got 632, so I'm currently better than 113,000 coaches, which is nice. But, yeah, pretty rough start. Obviously, Piacora was one.
Yeah.
Arrow was one that I had as well. Tupanua I started. Jeez, yeah.
It's all not
across
looking.
The board, yeah, it's pretty grim. And then, sure enough, like, pretty much my top scorer, Tom Dearden, I, for some reason, didn't have him in my starting 17, so...
That is rough. It was very rough.
Yeah, rough in the streets this week. Maybe that's a title for this week's episode, rough in the streets.
It'll have to be. Yeah, I didn't do much better, to be honest. 677, all the same players that you had, I guess, like Ethan Strange. I had to go Kiraz as well. I wanted to go Pennacini, but needed a winger fullback for this week, which... turned out to be very lucky because Kotrick's out for me as well this week. So, yeah, a lot of players that just underperformed, and I had Kinney as well in there. And, yeah, it's not pretty viewing at all. I'm kind of definitely had a little moment of reflection after this weekend. Was like, do I really want to keep posting stuff on Instagram and keep doing the podcast because I just suck, apparently. Apparently nothing we say is going right. Like, even the buys that we put up all kind of dudded a little bit. Like we said, Salmon was a buy and he only got 29. But, I think that, like looking at these players, a few of them are going to be, like, plotters, right? Like, you're looking at Ethan Strange, you're looking at Jamin Salmon, Piacora. They're going to make you cash. It's just kind of waiting for them to kind of perform, really. Because they're going to make cash over time. You've just kind of got to hold them, really.
Yeah, it's tough. Making good hard look in the mirror going into this podcast. But I don't know. I think at the same time, like, it was just a weird round. It's almost like round one doesn't really count. Now we move on. Now this is where the fantasy season begins. So...
Sure. It's going to be like Formula One this year. We're not going to worry about who wins. We're just, like, here to perform and try to get second, I think.
Answer some questions.
Maybe
we'll help out other people, but ourselves.
Correct. We'll help everyone else. We'll hopefully help everyone else. And we're aiming for top 10,000, I think, at this point. Well, I am anyway. Righto. Let's get into some team lists. We'll talk through some players that were named, some that won't, and we'll get to go through the Tigers team list as well this week. So that'll be interesting to get to. But we'll start with the Broncos and the Rabbitohs game on Thursday night. Pretty much the same lineup, except for the Rabbitohs. We've got Jai Arrow out with his shoulder issue. It looks like he's going to be out for the foreseeable future. So Talis Duncan comes in and is looking pretty good there on an edge. What do you think his minutes are going to look like, given the bench is pretty much middle forwards at the moment?
Yeah, I reckon it's looking pretty good. Where's our man as well that we brought in? Jacob Hoste.
Jacob Hoste isn't
on the bench, which is kind of a strange move. Looks like he could be getting 80 minutes here, Talis Duncan, for the Rabbits, given they've got guys like Dave Mowali, Shaq Mitchell, and Tom Burgess, Havili as well, all kind of middle forwards. And probably also a little bit put your line through to Tola, given that bench too. I really like Talis Duncan. Like, he had some really good moments last year. A few kind of really nice, you know, breaking tackles and line breaks. He's got some attack in him, but I think still pretty early on. I think you can afford to give him a week and just kind of have a look at him, see what he's doing. But I'm very interested in the prospect.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there with the Totola shout. It looks like he's probably going to be getting around the same minutes that he got round one, you know, around that 40-minute mark, just considering the bench. The only thing I have for Duncan for the first couple of rounds that he's here is if he'll be, you know, maybe not playing 80, probably 60, maybe Cam Murray moves to an edge just to give him a rest, and then they'll bring, a Shaq Mitchell or someone through the middle. That's the only thing that I can think of, but it looks pretty promising that they probably want to play in big minutes now with Arrow out, considering that bench. So signs are looking good for Duncan, I think. Maybe just give him 1 week and see how he goes. You're not going to lose too much cash, even if he gets, like, I don't know, a 40, 45. He's still probably going to only go up by 5 to 10K. You're probably safe, maybe waiting. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with that. Just, yeah, give him a look and then reassess if he looks good.
Yeah. And on the Broncos side, pretty much the same team. Pia Cora is backing up, it looks like, at the moment. He obviously still has to go through the concussion protocols, but he should line up on Thursday. Just keep an eye on the team list an hour before. But players from this game 2 weeks ago when they played in Vegas, I guess Ezra Mann, we kind of called, he was pretty much a dud in the end, only scored like a three.
Yeah, let's focus on a few of the things we did right.
Yeah. And let's short not talk list. About, yeah, there's not many, but we should call out our wins when we can. Then there was Jesse Arthurs, who was one we probably got wrong, I guess, at the same time. Scored a 40 with a few attacking stats on the wing there.
I think we're still right about Jesse Arthurs. Like, I think this will be a blip on the Jesse Arthurs season. He does this every year. You're like, oh, Jesse Arthurs. Did I say this in my head or did I say it in the podcast? But I'm like, man, Jesse Arthurs, like, you'll have a few random games and then he kind of like gets you interested, you jump on board, but like,
goes he's going to disappoint 20s. You. Yeah. I agree. Yeah, if you look at his stats from last year, he had a few games where he scored a couple tries, got you 30 or 40, and then back down to like 9 or 11 the week after. So yeah, I think I kind of agree with you there. Probably not one to target, but if you have him, you may as well ride the price increase as well. You can get him. Righto, that's pretty much it from that team. Still no Xavier Wilson on the bench for the Broncos, but I'm sure he'll get a start sometime this season. Moving on to the Sharks and the Bulldogs on Friday night, first Friday night game. Not too many changes here either. I think it's pretty much straightforward as it was last week for the Bulldogs anyway. For the Sharks, Toby Rudolph comes from the bench to the starting lineup, moving Royce Hunt back to the bench, which is how we thought their team should line up. In this game, I guess there's not too much to talk about. Probably the big one for the Sharks is Cam McInnes. His minutes, not too great. I think he only played 50-odd minutes when he normally plays, 60, 70 plus. So pretty harsh on him. I think Jack Williams and Dal Finucane took time off him. So pretty interesting rotation there. What do you think about him if people are holding McInnes?
Yeah, I think you can give him another week and just assess. Like, the one thing you do, like, he played 40 minutes, got 42 points.
Yeah.
Like, pretty elite kind of numbers. And he's probably not going to be one that's going to really hurt you. Like, 40 is not... You probably want 50s for Cam McInnes, obviously, or 50-plus. But, I don't know, maybe there was, like, a niggle or something. It does seem weird that he only played 40 minutes. It seems like that could be an outlier, I would be guessing. So, I don't mind holding him.
I guess it was Jack Williams' 100th game, maybe, because he got more game time. He played more than McInnes, so maybe they just played him a bit more because it was his, milestone game, but I don't know. I think, yeah, you're right. Just give him a couple more weeks maybe at least one more week and see how he goes.
They also really, like, that start of the game, they were getting pumped. And then I guess when Cam McInnes came off, they started to play well. Yeah. So I don't know what's going on, but hopefully. Yeah, one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, hopefully Fitzy doesn't read into that too much. For the Dogs, I guess the one change is Josh Adokar's out and Connor Tracy is in on the wing. Interesting that they left Kiraz at centre for this. I honestly thought Tracy would have come into the centres and Kiraz would have gone to the wing, but I mean, that still could happen before kickoff. But in this Dogs team, obviously you have Jamin Salmon, who people picked up hoping to get big minutes. That didn't happen because he had to move to the centres last week when Kiraz took Adokar's spot when he came off at halftime. So Salmon played the whole game, but he played the whole game at center, so the score kind of reflects that. I wouldn't be reading into the scores of Kurt Mann and Josh Curran too much either. They scored big because they played big minutes because of the Adokar injury, so probably give him another week to see how it pans out this week. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think good call. The injury and the kind of shuffle they had to do, it's kind of hard to read into what was going on here. So have another look this week and reassess.
Yeah, although I would like to see Curran play those minutes again. I think he came on at like the 15th minute mark, and then he just played the rest of the game. So if that happens every week, I might go for Curran, but I doubt that's going to happen this week. We'll just kind of see what happens with the Dogs. And moving on to the...
Actually, one thing I want to touch on. What were your thoughts on your man, Drew Hutchinson, first game? He almost brought him in. I see that you got cold feet, but...
Yeah, I did in the end. Yep. I ended up going for Kiraz instead of Hutch. I don't know. I think I was just not sure he would get enough base stats in the end. I think the kick meters was a real concern. He did get some kick meters. I think he had like 50 kick meters, which only equates to a point because Burton's just doing all the kicking. And the Bulldogs rarely had the ball against power as well. So there is some upside in Hutchinson. He did hit his break even. He got, what, a 34, I think. So he does... He will make a bit of cash. He's just going to be a slow burn for you if you picked him up. So I wouldn't be too disheartened. Like, he's going to score well. Compared to Flanagan also got like a... I think he got a 40 or something, Flanagan, if you can correct me.
Yeah, 36.
Yeah, but that's with a try. So I think Hutchinson was still the best pick out of those two. So
What about Tom Dearden, mate? He was
great. Oh, yeah, you're right. Might have been a bit wrong about Tom Dearden. we'll talk about him.
Co-captain Tom Dearden.
Well, he's not going to pump the other team every week, so we'll see. We'll see how he pans out. Moving on to the Panthers and the Eels. No changes for the Panthers outside. Oh, actually, no. Multiple changes for the Panthers. What am I talking about? So, Mitch Kenny comes back in, which sees Luke Summerton out of the squad altogether. Sonny Luke keeps his spot on the bench. And
Scott Sorensen's back.
Yeah, back in the team. Luke Garner moves back to the bench. So, not a long one for Sorensen. He's just straight back in. But, I mean, what is there to look at here? Maybe Taylan May? Taylan May was probably the best performer out of this team. I think he scored a 60-odd.
He was really good, yeah.
I don't know how consistent that's going to be. Obviously, he's taking over Crichton, and Crichton was a great scorer, but do you think he's going to be hitting that regularly? Like, he's over 600K at the moment.
His stats are pretty impressive here, but there's a few random kind of things in here. Like, he got a try save, he got a few turnovers, but no tries in this as well, which is kind of encouraging for Taylan May.
Yep.
A lot of base in here as well. It's really interesting. If you're looking for a kind of mid-range or higher range winger fullback, he's definitely in the conversation, I think.
Yeah, winger fullback center as well. So he's got that dual position, which is really handy. He's just a bit expensive. Like, he's hard to get to. That's like more than Manu, I think, at this point as well, 627K. So
also had a great game, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, you're probably looking at other guys like your Turbos or your Latrells if you're going to go up to somebody like that, but he's...
I don't hate it, basically.
Yeah, I don't hate it, yeah. Yeah.
It's actually... Looking at it now, because I'm thinking of bringing in Turbo, or I have so far. I haven't confirmed yet, but Taylan May, not a bad shout. Without a try, scoring 66. Pretty big. Very big. But maybe time will tell. We'll see how the next couple of weeks go for him. Do you want to really talk more about these Panthers players? We kind of know how everyone in this team plays, to be honest. And the fact that they didn't score any tries and a few of them did score quite well, like Cleary with a 51 without any attacking stats whatsoever, I think you're pretty happy with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on to the Parramatta side, who...
Actually, one other thing. Does anything change with Cleary captain this week? You're locking him in again?
Locking him in. I think the fact that...
Playing Eels, yep. You know, start well.
Yep. Still confident. Panthers still score points against us, unfortunately. Like, even though they haven't beat us in the last, what, three games, I think, they still score, you know, 15, 20 points against us on a week. So, I think it's pretty safe to put Cleary as the captain. I mean, the only other captain I maybe consider is Haas, because I know a few people have jumped off Cleary to Haas, but I think 47% or 48% currently have Cleary as captain, so... I feel like I'm just going to go with the pack until I get closer to, you know, 10K rank at this point. I kind of need to claw back some positions before I can go into a pod at the moment.
Fair.
And moving on to the Parramatta team now. Joey Lussick had a pretty good outing at hooker. Played most of the minutes. Played the whole first half and a half of the second half as well. So got a good 60, 65 minutes in with hands only playing the back end, really. So any interest there in Lussick, knowing that he's playing most of the minutes, or is it maybe too early to tell whether that's going to be, you know, stick for him?
Yeah, I think it's still probably too early. Like, if you don't, if you got him now, like, I think you're like, you're fine with that, getting like 40s hopefully consistently, but not really one I'm looking to bring in. Like, he probably does have some cash to make, but it's kind of, yeah, just like, it's all gross for me, if I'm honest, mate. Like, you know, best case scenario, he's getting like low 40s is, I don't know, prefer to shoot for some more upside, some other guys that have some more consistent minutes and things like that.
Yeah, especially at that price, it's kind of, there's a lot of other players you could get in, and you could use him to upgrade to a Terrell May or someone like that, who we'll talk about as well. But yeah, had a pretty tidy 40-20 though. I didn't expect that from him. Didn't know he could kick. But hoping for more of that against Panthers this week, so we'll see. And Cardi Party, absolutely killing it. Top scoring in fantasy this week. Expect more of that, or is that a one-off?
Just as I predicted in the off-season, the Cardi Party would top score week one.
Yeah, of course. We all knew that was coming.
Well, he got a double as well, didn't
he? Yeah, he did.
So, look, pretty hard to read into that. But, dude, who has the Cardi Party? I'm not sure anyone, but
yeah.
If you do, you're cheering. Lane also, he played 80 minutes, which was really nice to see. So, he score of 31, bit average, actually pretty average. but I kind of like, you know, the minutes were the kind of concern we had, I guess, coming in. I think he's got the upside attacking wise and stuff, like the offloads and big lanky dude hard attack on either line. So yeah, I'm still keeping an eye out on Sean Lane.
Yeah, the fact that he got 80 minutes was the big thing. I would be holding Lane if I had him at the moment. The problem is he's all Dylan Brown's side. So any attack that goes through Dylan Brown will go through Lane. So you just got to hope Brown gets the ball more and he actually, you know, performs. Because if he's not in form, Lane's just not going to get the ball enough. So, yeah, it's one to think about for Parramatta for sure. Lane, that means, will come down in price as well over the next couple of weeks. I think his break-even was 46. So, yeah, maybe one to keep an eye on if you don't have him at the moment. Anyone else from Parramatta? I think that's pretty much it.
I think that's, yeah, that covers it, mate.
Harper had a pretty good game, but you've got Sivo coming back soon that'll push Simonson most likely. But, yeah, that's fine. Raiders and Tigers are the first Saturday match. Raiders have shuffled around their back line with Sebastian Chris returning, which moves Hopewadi to the wing and Kotrick out. Morgan Smithies and Zach Hosking, the two big winners from this Raiders team. Any interest in either of those two? Obviously, Hosking, you've got Whitehead coming back, so maybe not much interest there. But Smithies, you got Big Red coming back. Do you think he comes in at lock, or do you think they put him through the forward rotation? What are we thinking there? Because two very good players that have very good base that really don't know what their likelihood of staying in this team is.
Yeah, they're kind of risky, but if you jump on now or if you started with them, you could be like cheering in 5-10 rounds if they keep just pumping out 50 pluses. I think it's if you got them, hold them, obviously, but I think there's maybe better options. And I think maybe as well, one of the things we learned like last year, just like towards the back end, how tight the trades get.
Yeah.
This could be one that, you know, getting a Smithies now looks really good, but it's also like in how many weeks, when Big Red's back, it could really backfire. So probably a risk I'm not looking to take this early on.
Yeah, I mean, if you started, we did say this actually 2 weeks ago before round one, Hosking, we know he's going to score well. He's a very good draft player to have because, you know, these first couple of weeks, while he's getting 80 minutes, he's going to get you big scores. But as soon as the players come back, he's going to go into either a rotation role or completely out of the team altogether. They're not going to leave Whitehead out. As much as everyone thinks they should leave Whitehead out, they're not going to leave their captain out. It's just not going to happen.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It is what it is.
What it is.
Yeah.
And might I just add, mate, it's just good. This is the first time that Daniel and I have ever like recorded a podcast in the same room together. So we're sitting in the same room. I'm back in Oz for a couple of weeks. So we're having an actual conversation versus being on Discord or over Zoom. It's good to see the trappings. It's good to see the big unit in presence here. So
Thank you. I'll take big unit. I'll take that that compliment for sure. Definitely not a big unit. Righto, looking at this Tigers team for the first time this season, some interesting inclusions. So Solomona Fatapi is in. Justin Ollam's back next week, so I wouldn't worry too much about that. Lachlan Galvin is in at 5'8", and Jaden Sullivan is at halfback with Caesar in the number 14. Also at lock is Alex Seyfarth, which is very interesting. So John Bateman and Isaiah Papali'i are your two edges. But other than that, the team is pretty much the same as it normally, well, it was last year with Buller at fullback. Yeah, this team, there's a few interesting ones. Obviously, everyone's going to jump on Galvin, basement price rookie, coming in at halfback. I guess the only issue with him is you've got Aiden Caesar on the interchange. Do you think Caesar comes in for him, or do you think he'll take Sullivan's spot and maybe rotate Sullivan through the hooker role? You know, maybe give Appy a rest. There's a few little combinations that
could
happen here.
Could go a few different ways, couldn't it? Or he could just come in straight for Appy and just give him a spell.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, the traditional kind of 14 role. He could, who knows, mate? He could come on through the middle. Who knows? Benji's at the Realm. He could be cooking up a storm, but
I like it from Benji, though.
Yeah.
He's taken a few gambles, chucking Galvin straight in, especially after you've just bought Caesar in over the offseason.
Well, as I famously said, top eight challenging Tigers of this year. They're going to do some things. And I've honestly had a little bit of nightmares after I said that. I was like, I can't believe what I was thinking. Why did I say the Tigers were going to be maybe good this year? But
you might be right. You never know. It's only the first game.
I'll take it if it comes off. But I'm a little bit skeptical, honestly, about all of these guys that you mentioned, like Galvin, Sullivan. I get the appeal, obviously, with Galvin being so cheap and trying to free up cash to make other moves like you're doing with trying to get Turbo and fix some other positions up. But I just reckon, I don't know, we've seen this in some of our other teams. Like, he could be this year's, like, Isaiah Katoa, who does all right, makes you a little bit of cash, but he's just got that, like, single digit or low teen score in him. It's kind of, it's tricky. And, you know, with the Tigers, could easily see a situation where they play like, you know, the Panthers or like whoever in whatever week's time and get pumped. And then Galvin scores like a six.
Yeah, or a negative two. That could happen this week against the Raiders. They looked very good. And with the pack that they have against an 18-year-old kid on an edge, you could see Hosking or Hudson Young or even Smithy's just rolling straight through him. It's a bit worrying.
It is a bit worrying.
But I think, I mean, he's one of those players that if you need to trade down and you need cash somewhere, he's the perfect candidate, right? Because he will play and he's basement price. Like, you can't go any lower. There's always
going to be any lower. This is the best case for Lachlan Galvin. You can't go any lower.
Yeah,
That's his best advertisement. But, see what he's saying. I just think as well, like, it wouldn't shock me in 2 weeks' time if he's completely out of the team if he shits the bed. So,
yeah, fair.
It's a bit of risk in just, like, he could be a dud cheapy, but I don't know. If he comes out, to be fair, this week and gets a 40, he's going to be pretty much straight in, I reckon, for me.
Yeah, I think, realistically, I think he's probably got, you know, mid-20s in him. Maybe max if he gets a few attacking stats, you know, in the 30, 35 range. I don't see him going above that, to be honest, unless he has a freak of a game. Like, unless the Tigers are on and they're absolutely gunning it and Benji's got him firing all cylinders, I just don't see him being a huge scorer, unfortunately. But he could tick away as a cashy, make you a bit of cash over time. Kind of like Ethan Strange is looking like he's going to be. He did well in the first couple of minutes, maybe the first 15, 20, but after that, he just looked like he was just blowing it out there on an edge. He was struggling to keep up and they brought him off shortly towards the end of the game as well. So, probably just got to be a plotter, I think, for Galvin. But not a bad plotter either. Bit of cash to make there.
One thing I'm really interested to see, who's doing the kicking out of these two? Jaden Sullivan, not a noted kicker, I don't think. So, if he could get kind of like an Adam Reynolds, like just
sit back and
heaps
just kick
of, of kicking and then chimes in with the odd attacking stat. Could be a really nice buy, Lachlan Galvin. So, want to kind of check out.
One thing that I did note this week, Jamal Fogarty, just under 800 metres, kick metres.
Jesus Christ.
799 kick metres. huge base. I couldn't believe it. But if that's going to keep going, Fogarty, great buy to start for sure. Righto. Moving to the 5:30 game on Saturday, the Cowboys taking on the Knights. For the Cowboys...
Top of the table, Cowboys.
Top of the table, Cowboys, yeah. Only time you're going to be able to say that. Pretty much the same team. Yeah, the same team. And for the Knights, Dylan Lucas is out, which sees Kai Pierce-Paul come straight in on an edge. And Tom Jenkins is well named for Inari Tuala on the wing. Jed Cartwright as well joins the bench, so that'll probably be to spell KPP.
Yeah.
I guess in terms of the Cowboys team, there was a few players that did well. Hillam Lukey got a good score. Tom Dearden also scored well. And Val Holmes was big as well. So good to see them scoring. I guess the ones that people are probably worried about, which a lot of players had, was Ruben Cotter, only managed a 41. And probably a player that's a bit on the chopping block at the moment, considering people are looking for cash to go up to like your players that did well, like a Terrell May or someone like a Turbo, you know, those kind of guys. I don't know. What are your thoughts around Cotter?
Happy to hold him. 41, not like the best outcome, but it's not going to kill you. I don't think he might just kind of plod away and be, you know, in the 40s most weeks, but not really any attacking stats. He was really close to a try at one point in this game, yep, which really boosted him. 51 minutes, that's all right.
Could expecting 60 minutes normally, I think. But I think that'll come during the season, to be honest.
That's the other thing with forwards, like at this time of the year, sometimes they're kind of like easing in a little bit. I was surprised with the amount of time Sam McIntyre played in this game.
Yeah, huge.
He got a lot of minutes. Probably helps that Lolo still doesn't look great, which it's a real shame for the Cowboys. But and Jordan McLean came off within the first like 20 minutes of this game as well. So I don't know. I'm happy to hold him and just kind of see how it comes and make decisions, later on.
Yeah, I mean, 40 as a base isn't too bad, to be honest. Like, it's fine to hold. I guess you can use him as a bit of cash to move up to a player, but like, it's, you don't really want to. Ideally, you want to hold him and just you hold out to see him get more minutes and hopefully higher scores. But I don't hate selling him, but I also wouldn't get rid of him if I didn't have to. That makes sense? Yeah, it's kind of a middle ground. Kind of want to hold, but you don't really want to hold him sometimes. But anyway, moving on to the Knights team. Ponga. Yeah, rough one. Only managed at, 35, I think it was?
I think, did he get some downgrades as well? I'm not sure. I thought I maybe saw him at 40 or at some point. Yeah. But, not ideal start for him, but there was a try that got disallowed, right? That would have probably boosted him closer to 50. Not that he scored it, but he set one up.
Went straight through the middle, yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't be panicking on Kalen Ponga. He's class. He's playing the top of the table Cowboys this week, so it could be a rough showing.
Stop
for the
saying
Knights.
That. It's round one.
But no, not freaking out on Ponga. If you brought him in, he's a keeper until otherwise.
Yeah. You just hold him. If you've invested that much money in him, you're not going to waste that cash now. He's just a season-long hold at this point. Outside of that, is there really many others you want to talk about in this Knights team? To be honest, I think they're all okay. Gagai still looked pretty good, scored well without doing too much, which was interesting. I wouldn't be picking up Kai Pierce-Paul because I think Lucas is only a week away, so it was just his knock that's keeping him out this week, so he'll be back soon. I just don't think there's much else to talk about here.
One other thing, Adam Elliott thoughts. 53 minutes, 45 points. Not a bad first showing for him.
Yeah, good PPM. Played well, actually. From watching the game, he was really good, but just not enough minutes, I think. Like, that's pretty high for those minutes normally. I think he normally, when he gets those minutes, probably closer to 40. Or low, like high 30s. Like, I don't think he... Yeah, I just don't see him getting more minutes with the team that they have at the moment.
It's fair. Yeah, I think he's probably one. Yeah, if you started with him, you're decently happy, but probably a better options.
Yeah, if you have him, you're holding him, but you're not. You're not going out of your way to pick him up with some of the other value that's around at the moment.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Righto. Last game on Saturday night, the Storm taking on the Warriors. Storm, very good against the Panthers. Got up there 8-0. interesting here, I guess, Pappenhausen only scoring a 20 in that game. Looking at his stats, yeah, it looks a bit rough, but it's not really reflective of the game itself. It was very tough to come across points in this game. What are your thoughts around Pappy? He's probably going to be just a season-long hold, right? Like, he's got to come good some point.
Exactly, yeah. Not an ideal matchup again here against the Warriors.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just so, like, matchup dependent, I guess, these backs. Guys like Ponga and Pappy are going to have tough games against some of the better teams.
Yeah.
But, you know, peaks and troughs, he'll play against some shit teams and probably ton up or, you know, do some good things as well. So, yeah, I'm happy to hold him, mate. I'm not panicking on Pappy for sure.
Just tuck him under your wing and hold him for the rest of the season, for sure.
No goal kicking is like that's the one thing one. That don't love, but
he might get it back throughout the season. You never know, really.
Never know, but doesn't look like it.
Yeah. Other people to consider, other players here like Joe Chan. 26, played a pretty good... To be honest, he looked very good watching the game, but he was all just tackles and tackle busts. Didn't really make many meters, not a ton of hit-ups. Missed a few tackles. It was looking very rough at one stage. I think he was only on 15 or 16 when they locked for the round, like when they finished the game, which was really worrying. And then he slowly got upgrades over time. So luckily he kind of paid off a little bit, but a bit disappointing to only see a 26. He looked a lot better than that. So hoping for some more base stats come in the coming weeks, but probably one to just hold and watch the cash slowly come in.
Yeah, I agree. Is he still going to be in your interchange spot this week? Or are you going to make different plans?
Well, you're looking at my team right now. Do I really want to put Danny Levi or Sam Hughes in there? Maybe Sam Hughes, but he doesn't get many minutes.
That's true. Yeah, I reckon... I think you're doing the right thing. I'm probably going to start him this week as well. It could be one now with a few guys like, you know, people might have Kotrich or Fifita or other guys that didn't get named this week. Use that loophole as well for a guy like Chan, who is this Saturday night game. So that's probably what I'm going to try to do this week with him. Yeah,
definitely. Don't get caught out by that though. If he does get named, if like Fifita or Kotrick, someone does get named
that's
late,
true.
Just be cautious of that.
Finger on the pulse.
Yep. You can talk about Harry Grant, but I think we're going to say the same thing, probably just a hold at this point, even with, you know, only a 49. For the Warriors, played very well against the Sharks, but still didn't come up with the win.
Strange game.
Yeah, they were so good, just, unfortunately didn't come away with it. But Sharks, credit to them, they played very well. Some players here that are pretty interesting. Luke Metcalf looked so good. Like, he was crazy good through the middle. Even though his score doesn't really reflect it that much, he played so well. Scored a try where he just cut him straight in half. Only scored a 42, but that'll see him get a few cash rises. So if you started with him, well done. Other players, Tohu Harris, as consistent as ever, scoring big, playing through the middle, getting plenty of minutes. AFB as well. I can't believe he's just continued.
Machine.
I couldn't believe it. Like, I just assumed, based on his previous 8 seasons before he was, before last year, averaging, high 40s, low 50s, and then all of a sudden he comes out and hits an 81. Good if you started with him. Sucks if you don't have him. But you're not really going near him, right? 820K. He's not going to get that every week, score a try, break that many tackles.
Exactly. I think I'm sticking true to the analysis we kind of gave over the offseason. Like, it's got to kind of come down at some point. So, you're cheering if you got him, but I think he's going to come down to earth eventually.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got him, it's probably good as he goes up now. You're probably looking to sell him once he peaks, and then maybe even go up to a Hines if you haven't got him, or maybe go sideways to a Cam Murray or someone like that that's probably a bit more consistent, or an Isaiah Yeo, Payne Haas.
Yeah, good shout.
Yeah, at the time. Righto, not too much more there. So moving to the Manly and Roosters game on the Sunday afternoon. Tommy Talau comes in
He's back.
For Manly. Don't know if I can go back there, to be honest, after previous seasons, but we'll see how it turns out before kickoff on Thursday night. For the Roosters, pretty much the same. Yeah, the same that was named in Vegas with Satili Tupanua taking that spot and Siu Wong as well, who both pulled up with a couple of injuries after that game. Terrell May is the big one for the Roosters, which I kind of want to touch on first. Thoughts on him, because he played huge minutes. I wasn't sure if it was because of the injuries that he played huge minutes, but his PPM was just unreal. I think he played like close to 50, 55 minutes and scored a 52 or something like that. I don't even know.
54 minutes and 62 points for Terrell May. Looking pretty juicy. He's got, you know, guys like Werri Hargreaves coming back. Should still get, you know, minutes in the, like, 40s, you would say.
Yeah.
Might Spencer Lean is out, right? Like, yeah, Spencer Lean is out 8 weeks.
Yep.
So, should have an extended run here in the team. I'm intrigued, but it's just, I don't know. Bringing in someone who's a bench forward.
Bench forward, yeah.
At his price already, 523K, is a little bit awkward. I'm probably not going to pull the trigger this week, although it's tempting, you know, 60-odd points the first week. I just think, I don't know, other guys such as Talas Duncan or people in those mold kind of interest me a little bit more than he does. So that's probably what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think, Talas Duncan just has more longevity and a bit more cash to make, I think. You just don't know with May. That's the problem off the bench. If he was starting, like, he's a must-have if he's starting, because he would get a lot more minutes, but you just don't know what's going to pan out because Rooster's injuries really caused him to get more minutes off the bench, so...
I guess if you're getting, like, starting minutes, I don't know, that...
But was it just due to the injuries? You just don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
But, yeah, I don't hate going for him. At 520K, yes, it's a mid-price, yes, it's a bit awkward, but if he can pull off 60s, it's a pretty good price. To get him at. If he can keep pulling those off even once every 3 weeks, like, you're pretty happy to get that in your team, especially with the base he's got in his minutes. But for Manly, Burbo, he's the big one. Everyone had him. He's in 61% of teams.
Yeah.
Get around him.
Look good. Well, obviously we talked about it a little bit last when they played in Vegas, but
yeah,
if you don't have him, I'm pretty happy to bring him in. He's still a buy, I think. There is, you know, a little bit of what's going to happen if/when Schuster comes back. You're saying he's been named in New South Wales Cup this week. Is that true?
Correct. Okay.
So, I don't know. I'm still happy to roll with him. I'd still probably make a trade to bring him in if you haven't got him. But, yeah. There is an asterisk. Could be risky.
There's always an asterisk against Burbo.
Yeah.
He could get you. He's one of the only players that really gets negative points when he plays and gets injured, like, in the first 10, 15 minutes. So I was worried that might happen, to be honest, first round, that he comes out and he gets, like, a negative score. But luckily played pretty much the whole game. So, yeah. Get around Burbo if you can. I think he's still got cash to make. Obviously, -4 break even. He'll make your cash this week. Irregardless, touch wood, anyway.
Yeah.
Outside of him, Turbo had a very good game. Does Talau interest you at all? Like, he's obviously pretty cheap. 261, I think he comes in at.
Any interest there? Yeah, Saab out 6 weeks, at least, you think, with that string that he's done.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I know, he piqued my interest at the start of the season as well. I don't know, I reckon he's not a bad shout as if you're going to go a bargain around that price. There's no one else like kind of really knocking down the door as a cheapy fullback. Got the jewel as well, which is handy. So yeah, I don't hate it.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't hate it, but obviously you look at his center scores from last year. Yes, it was with the Tigers, but you're always discouraged when you see those kinds of scores, like in the single digits. Yeah. not pretty viewing. Maybe don't reflect on them too much. Moving on to the last game of the weekend, which is the Dolphins taking on the Dragons. Could be a very tough one for the Dolphins, this, considering how good the Dragons look this week. Just tough, just absolutely physical and tough through the middle, which is probably what they needed. For the Dolphins, there's a few changes with Lemuelu out. Ewan Aitken comes in to the back row, and Ray Stone's also out with a concussion, so Max Platt starts at lock. pretty good minutes from Flegler and a pretty good score. Looked very good through the middle. What are your thoughts on Flegler?
Yeah, he looked good. He got the try as well, yep, which boosted him up a bit. But, he got through a lot of work, to be fair. So, if you started with him, I think, yeah, you're cheering.
Yeah, just not going near him pretty much at this point. You're not going to buy him after the score he got, plus including a try.
Yeah.
I guess you and Aitken kind of interest me, because Lemuelu, I think, is a long-term. He dislocated his knee, so they were thinking 3 to 4 weeks at least. Kind of a mid to long-term one, might be worth a trade. What are your thoughts? He's awkwardly priced though, Aitken. That's the big thing, really.
Yeah, just the center depth. There's not too many of those guys anymore that play on the edge and have the dual center. So he definitely appeals to me in that respect. But I don't know, if it's that kind of short term, he might not get 80 as well. There's a chance Kenny Bromwich comes in and spells him a little bit too. So
yeah, good point.
I don't know.
Probably not. Yeah, probably maybe not. Not one to go. Max Plath. Why is he at 500k? I do not know. But yeah, I wouldn't be going near him either, because Ray Stone's probably only going to be out for 1 week and then come straight back in.
Probably the thing that he playing through the middle, I didn't really expect. I thought because he was named at half, I guess I didn't really know much about him. I thought he would come and spell JMK, but yeah. JMK got through big minutes, so that was really nice to see.
Yeah, did he play the full 80, Marshall King? I thought, because I don't recall him ever coming off. Yeah, I think he played
74 minutes for JMK, so
right at the end.
Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, for the Dragons, very good game over the week just gone. Obviously, reverting back to Blake Laurie in the front row. He was ruled out last week. Tom Eisenhuth back to an edge, and JDB to lock, with RFM moving back to the bench. The inclusion of Luciano Leilua on the bench also sees Viliami Fifita unfortunately drop out, which really hurts most fantasy teams, including mine. I'm watching this game, RFM looked absolutely red hot. Like, he was running just as hard as he possibly could, and really looked like I wanted to buy him, basically. I wanted to switch Tupanua to him, but the fact that he's named amongst the bench now, probably not one you can go, right?
Yeah, I agree. It's a shame, because he's one of my long-term fantasy crushes, RFM, but he needs an injury or something probably to get into relevance for me.
Yeah, needs 80 minutes as well to be a good scorer. The other one is Eisenhuth had a huge game, did play at lock though for a good portion of that game, and now he moves to an edge. We'll probably see him play 80 as well on that edge, I'd imagine, unless RFM comes in or Luciano Leilua comes in to spell him, because Jaden Sewer, I feel like he's always going to be playing 80 on an edge. He has for the last two seasons. Eisenhuth's the only one that maybe could get 80. Looks like he can, but I don't know. What do you see the likelihood of him playing 80? Because he got a pretty good score as well.
Yeah, 60 in 60 minutes.
Yeah.
That's 1 PPM for those at home.
Yeah, good math, yeah.
I don't know. I was kind of surprised when I saw his score there, but yeah, he looks good.
Just needs big minutes. That's
the problem. Under 500k, which is appealing too. Should get, he's obviously moved over from Storm, so you think that he's probably come over with some kind of promise of getting decent minutes in this pack. Don't hate it.
Maybe I'd like to say give it a week, but if he does perform again this week, he's probably going to skyrocket, because his break even's in the teens, I think, at the moment. So
I think he's probably one, if you gonna jump on, do it now versus he's just gonna go up now that he's got that 60 in his rolling average.
Flanagan as well played really well, scored a try, but only managed a mid 30. Like, we've mentioned this earlier in the pod, if you've picked him up, he's gonna make you cash, but you're not really going him now, right? Like, he's past the point that you can actually go near him.
Yeah, I wouldn't be bringing him in if you didn't have him.
Yeah,
happy to hold though and see if you have him.
Lomax was Sloan obviously scored a hat trick, but only managed 60 odd. But Lomax is the one that was probably the most interesting to me. He saw a lot more ball playing on the wing than he normally does at center. He was so much more involved than I thought he would be.
Yeah, 266 meters gained, that's to be fair. Huge, that's pretty big work rate. it's interesting. He's goal kicking as well. If the Dragons kind of hit some form and keep putting scores on people, he's going to be a big beneficiary of that. I just think the Dragons are going to come crashing down to earth a little bit as well. Like, I think this is probably going to be one of the outlier games for him, if I was guessing. But yeah,
good to see. Encouraging for sure.
Good to see. Encouraging, but not probably one. When you got other guys like Turbo, who's not that much more expensive, or May from Panthers as well. It's
probably you'd rather go there over Lomax. Fair enough. And another person that a lot of people picked up as a bit of a pod center was Moses Sully. Was only 450k. Looked very good, but I don't think his score really reflected how good he played. Like, he was very good, but just didn't manage to get many stats, unfortunately. But if you have him, I'd be holding him. There's going to be games where he gets plenty of attacking stats. If you don't, probably keep an eye on him and see how he goes over the next couple of weeks, because, yeah, he could be one that also takes off with a bit of form for the Dragons.
Sweet.
Righto, that's pretty much it. Any other players that you wanted to touch on that we didn't talk about while going through the teams?
No, I reckon that's pretty much it, mate. Yeah.
Righto.
Let's get some questions.
Yeah, let's jump into some fan questions. As always, if you have any questions for the Josh and myself, head to our Instagram page. We'll put up a story a day before we record the pod. Generally, it's on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, and you can just submit your questions there. First question for you from Ash, is Ponga a hold? We've kind of already touched on it.
Yeah, hold until further notice.
Yep, and next question from Matt, Lukey, Wong, or May? I'm assuming Terrell May, because he's named a bunch of forwards.
I really liked, I guess we didn't talk about Lukey that much, but looked pretty good. He went off as well at one point of the game, HIA, which maybe affected his minutes a little bit, but around that 60 minutes, I think that's where he's probably going to be hitting. And he had the try, obviously, but he's got that in him, getting kind of consistent 40s, hopefully, moving forward. Looks good.
Yeah, I think they were talking on the commentary. I don't know how much they know, but they were like, oh, they're trying to get him to be an 80-minute player, which I kind of think they need. They probably want two 80-minute edges so that they can play more rotations through the forward, because that's the kind of team that they probably are aiming to be, is more of a tougher, you know, through-the-middle type of pack to give Drinkwater a bit more room and the halves. But yeah, I think he's going to be a big beneficiary of that. Like, it's only going to take a few more weeks for him to start picking up his minutes, and I hope that he becomes an 80-minute player. And the big thing that encourages me, no missed tackles this week.
No missed tackles.
Look at him go. No tackle bust, but no missed tackles, which is, you know, a bit of an outlier for Lukey, because he's a fiend for missing like 4 or 5 tackles in a game, for sure. But yeah, I guess out of those three, looking at Lukey, Wong, and May, I guess put him in order of who you'd prefer.
Sorry, say him again.
Lukey, Sia Wong, or Terrell May.
I think I'd go Sia Wong looked pretty good too. It's pretty close, 1-2 for Wong and Lukey for me, and then May after that.
Yeah, I'm very interested in May, just at an awkward price. I think I'd go Lukey, May, then Wong. Yeah, okay. I'm going to say that. I think Wong's still going to make some cash, but I think you probably wanted to start with him, to be honest. I wouldn't waste a trade getting him in now, because you probably want to be trading him out eventually as well. So he's not going to make a ton more cash, I don't think. Question from Robertson. Replacement for Spencer Lienu. Oh, Lienu's at an awkward price as well. Only in the mid 300k mark. I guess we'll go a player up, equivalent player, and then a player down, I guess. Make it easy.
Yeah.
If you can trade up to a Terrell May.
Yeah, maybe. I'd be interested in doing that. Trading down
390. Yeah.
Looking if you haven't got guys like Sam Hughes or
good point, actually.
Maybe like, I guess Talis Duncan is a move up still, because he's a bit higher priced, but
there's really not much. In the mids that low, there's really not much at all. I'm just looking through it now and it is not pretty viewing at all.
What I would look to do is maybe if you've got a Spencer Lienu, like go to a different position if you've got the depth. A lot of people are running with multiple edges and have a few jewels that they can play around with. Look at going down to this Galvin guy from the Tigers potentially, or, you know, one of these other kind of cheaper guys we've discussed today.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's probably the best. And Duncan's probably the most equivalent player you can get to. Only 20k more to get Talis Duncan, so probably the best. Probably the best one to go, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Is Kai Pierce-Paul a buy because he's starting this week? Camden asks.
Yeah, I think as you say, mate, like Dylan Lucas should be back next week. Is that what's going on?
I think
on?
So. I didn't see much news on it, but I think he had a bit of a head knock, and I'm not sure if he was put in the concussion protocols, but I don't think he's long away anyway, even if it was a bit of an injury. Like, we would have been hearing more about it if it was a serious injury, right? Like,
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Question from Nathan. Who's a good option to replace Arrow? Well, I think you can just go straight to Duncan, right?
Yeah, kind of similar to... who are we just talking about? Spencer Linu.
Linu, yeah. Well.
Probably similar analysis, I reckon, with Jai Arrow. I think I might even try and get Jai Arrow down to, like, a turbo or something this week with no Kinney and no Kotrick, which has left me short.
Yeah.
The fullback, which has been a pain.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Question from Riley. Best pickups for cash this round. So thinking cheapies. So we talked about Galvin being probably one that's going to make a bit of cash as long as he can stay in the 17. Well, probably the 13. I think if he moves to the bench, might not be making much more cash. Verbo, if you don't have him. Strange will keep ticking along as well. Geez, what else is there? There's not really tons of, like, definite players that are going to keep making cash. I mean, Luke will make a bit more cash off the bench, but it's going to be similar to last year with Sonny Luke. He's going to come on for 10 minutes some games. He's going to come on for half of the game others. It depends how Mitch Kenny plays.
Yeah.
It's hard to kind of judge, but I think Sonny Luke, he's got a -1 break even or something like that. So, like, he'll make a bit of cash, but it's probably not worth the trade just knowing that he can score in the single digits. So, probably
still curse from last year, honestly, as well with him.
Yeah,
like, a lot
exactly.
of people stuck with him for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, could see the same thing happen again.
Yeah, I think Galvin and Duncan are probably your two biggest cashies this round. Oh, what about Gagai? We didn't really touch on Jacob Gagai. So Isaac Thompson didn't get named in the end on the wing for the Rabbitohs this week, and Gagai has still held his spot with Whiten coming back next week and Munro still... What, how long away? He was round 8 or something like that, 6-8?
Yeah,
something like that. So, and then you'd assume Jack Whiten comes in for Richie Kenner in the centres, and maybe Gagai holds his spot. He only got a 28 with a try, though. That's the thing. That's
yeah.
not very encouraging for a Rabbitohs player.
If you've started with him, I reckon you're fine, but there's just too many things that could go wrong with it, like, with Whiten and Munro, like, could be out of this team in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, could be out next week. Like, Thompson could still come back in. You just, you don't know. Question from Cliff. From one fantasy nuff to another, what are you doing with Kotrick and Fifita? Yeah, right. it's a very relevant question. I have both of them, and they're both in my emergency roles at the moment. What about you? Do you have either?
I've got Kotrick. I ended up getting cold feet with Fifita, but... I think you're at this point, you're just holding. Like, I don't think it's... You can't really do much with that amount of money anyway.
I mean, you could do Fifita to Galvin. I think that would be an okay option, but they're both risky players, really. Fifita could come back into this team at some point. He didn't look that bad. He just didn't get many minutes, Fifita.
I'm kind of using this as, like, an option to loop as well. Like, I don't have any... Everyone else in my team except for Kotrick... is playing, so
except for
Kinney
Titans,
as well.
Kinney, yeah.
So using it as a loop opportunity, I think, is not a bad play also, if you got them. And just hold.
Yeah, I think this week you'd be chucking, if you've got both of those and they're the only two that aren't playing outside of, if you don't have Kinney, you put Kotrick in your fourth interchange spot, and hopefully he doesn't get named late, and you'd use him to loop your fifth emergency into your bench, depending on what they score.
Also, we didn't really touch on, but, like, this Raiders back line is strange to me, that Jordan Rapana is playing fullback at 30-plus years old. He's never been a fullback before, really, in his career.
He didn't look too bad, though, to be honest. He was okay. But
like, he looked fine, but I just would be surprised if they change some things around again and Kotrick makes his way back into this team. So, I'm kind of holding out hope for him.
Yeah, I kind of don't mind. Kotrick looked good. They just didn't go down his wing at all for all the tries that they scored. And they were rotating between fullback and wing, if you didn't notice. Like, Kotrick moved to fullback for a little bit. And so did the... Who was the other winger? Completely forgot who the other winger
was. Papawadi or...
he was in the centres. But anyway, yeah, they were rotating the wingers and the fullback quite regularly, which is why Rapana was... oh, yeah, Xavier Savage. We're looking at him right now. It's crazy.
It's like, what's his game?
Yeah, they all rotated through fullback in the second half because I think they were all getting a bit tired and a bit sore. So that could still happen. Definitely Kotrick coming back in this team. I wouldn't rule it out
at all. Stuart, mate, the rotating fullback position. It's new.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Question from Jacinta. Thoughts on Richie Kenner and Jacob Gagai? Need a winger fullback and don't have any spares on my bench. Under 400k. Kind of touched on Gagai. Don't really want to go near him given the options. Richie Kenner, probably in the same boat, right? Like,
yeah.
Can't really go near him.
Pretty gross, Richie Kenner. But always love Jacinta chiming in, obviously. I think, yeah, out of all those, like, I kind of prefer Tommy Talau out of those two options. If you're going to go...
Under 400.
Yeah. That's probably the way I'm looking.
Yeah, that's really the only option. I guess there's Blake Taff, but... We've said our piece on Blake Taff a number of times. I'd take the risk on Talau. The Seagulls look pretty good, to be honest, so I don't think he's going to have issues with getting opportunities, which is good.
Yeah, he's got 6+ weeks in this team, it looks like, so yeah, see what he can do.
Yep. Quick one, question from Billy, is Duncan a buy?
I think give him a week, but I really like the look of him.
Question from Finno. Haven't heard from him in a while. That's good to get a question from him. Messed up through Arrow as I picked him up as a pod this year. What do I do now? Yep, best trade for equal cash. We kind of touched on that. Yeah, probably just straight to Duncan.
Yeah. See if you can wait a week potentially and do something else. Like if you need a winger fullback like I do this week, probably go Jarrow to someone else in that space. But yeah.
Question from Dan. Is there a world where I keep Satilli this week? I think definitely. This is the world you keep him.
This is the world.
I'm keeping him. I didn't really think of trading him this week. He had that injury where he came on for the second half and then shortly after left. So if he would normally play that whole second half, and I don't see why he wouldn't score a 40.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So hold Satilli if you can. Duncan or Terrell May, Patrick asks.
Maybe in that situation I would go May over Duncan. I don't know, that's kind of close for me.
Yeah, it's a hard one. I think I would go May as well. I think it's just a bit more upside, but yeah, I mean I don't hate either, to be honest. They're both good options.
Oh, this is interesting. From Wacko's Whispers, 15 minutes ago. Rabbitohs' Talis Duncan has been managing a calf injury, suffered late in preseason, but did get 47 minutes in two stints in New South Wales Cup.
Okay. There you go. Late breaking.
Yeah, this is where you pay the money for at Fantasy Footy Brands headquarters.
Yeah, of course. Duncan, that probably means that he's not playing 80. Probably means that he'll probably get, 50?
Yeah, the baby cows usually don't get 80 minutes, so...
Mm.
Yeah.
Unfortunate, but, probably sees Murray playing big minutes then. You imagine he moves to an edge.
Yeah, given the makeup of their bench.
That's pretty much it. A lot of questions on Duncan and May, which we've kind of already touched on. We really like May, really like Duncan, but probably want to give him a week, especially now with that injury. You probably want to give him a week, means that his minutes aren't going to be quite where you want them to be as well. Thoughts on... question from Kobe. Thoughts between Galvin, Plath, and Duncan. We've already talked about Duncan. Plath, he's just too much money. And
yeah.
Ray Stone back next week.
Yep.
Galvin... Yeah, we've touched on him quite a lot. Just, he's going to make money. Just, we don't really know how long he's going to be in that team and what his role really is going to be, right? Because Sullivan could be kicking. Galvin could be taking all the kick meters. You don't really know.
I think that's mate. I kind of agree. A few of these kind of give them a week, see what they're doing.
Yep.
But it's round one. Don't freak out.
Yeah.
It's a long, old season. NRL fantasy. So... I guess, mate, on that note, let's call it a day, but cheers for listening. Good luck in round two and hope you bring it.
Oh, I was going to do the outro, dude.